me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. We appreciate your desire to be with us and involve yourselves in a time of worship and praise as a congregation of God's people. Jim mentioned the many guests or visitors with us today from various places, and the one I want to kind of highlight, my dear friend, I call him New York Bill, from Staten Island, New York. I sometimes say, you know, we've known each other for 12 or 15 years, but really it's only been 12 or 15 hours, because he's only here once a year, and at the morning worship assembly. So I think we have longevity on our agenda here, but really it's just one hour a year. I'm trying to get him to move here and commute to New York to work, but we'll see how that works out. So welcome. There's an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along this morning, please do so. This is the third lesson on prayer. A couple of weeks ago, we began with a lesson on things that hinder prayer and gave you a rather long list of things that the Bible mentions that really short-circuit our communication with God. Last week, I gave you a list of things that will help us in prayer. So the lesson today is just finding a time to pray. Hope all of us do that. Of all the Bible has to say about prayer, in the New Testament, an established time for prayer is not given. We kind of think of that as a little bit odd because of all the times for prayer in the Old Testament that are specifically stated. You know, David formed a time for prayer. He said in Psalm 119, seven times a day do I praise thee. Well, should we just pray seven times? I'd like, if God had given that, we could just have a little checkoff list. Oh, I got my seven times in before noon. I'm done for fun. I'm finished praying for the day. But David said, I pray seven times a day. He said in Psalm 55, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he'll hear my voice. Daniel, in praying, Daniel chapter 6, kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God. The Jews had set time for prayer. In the New Testament, when the apostles were going about the city preaching the gospel, in Acts 3, it said Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. That being the ninth hour. That's where the people were. Let's go where the people are and we'll keep them there. Well, the New Testament includes prayer as a way of life. Required times are not commanded. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 that men ought always to pray. Always. We just need to find a time to pray. In Romans 12, verse 12, Paul said to continue steadfastly in prayer. Didn't say a number of times. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in our text that was read to us this morning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he just says, pray without ceasing. And we can do that. Well, people always wonder, how can I pray without ceasing? You just need to have a walk and a talk with God. And sometimes people think, oh, if I pray, I need to bow my head and close my eyes and fold my hands and that kind of thing. But no, I pray when I'm driving. And when I'm going the speed limit, I was going to say 80 miles an hour. When I'm going the speed limit down the freeway, you know, I think about a prayer. I don't bow my head and close my eyes. No, I just drive and talk with God. God, this is on my mind. Oh, remember, don't forget this person in the congregation. Just have a walk and a talk with God. Maybe when you're washing your hands, you think, God, thank you for washing me of my sins. Just have a prayer thought as you're going through the day. God, help me. If we can, pray without ceasing. We always wonder, God, why didn't you set a time for prayer? Why didn't you help me out? Perhaps it's because we need to seek times of devotion on our own. And prayer now becomes becomes, it's a voluntary basis. And when we don't have set times, our prayer life becomes a test of our devotion to God. As when Jesus says, when you pray, he doesn't say pray at these hours, but when you pray, there's that expectation that God's children will pray and talk to the Heavenly Father. Having set times might be a blessing to one, but a hardship to another. Having set times may make our prayer life a formality or a ritual. We're just going about our day, and we look at our clock, oops, time to pray. So not to make a law, but to offer encouragement, here's some suggestions for time for prayer. You can see them in your notes. Number one, just pray in the morning. It's appropriate time, isn't it? We've had protection through the night. We've had a rest. So let's not only thank God through the night, but let's ask God's favor for the day ahead. God help me. You know, so far, you know, in your prayer, you know, so far I haven't gotten angry, God. I haven't been upset with anybody. I haven't blurted out wrong words or anything else, but I'm about to get out of bed. And God help me. I don't know who the author of this poem is, but said, I got up early one morning, rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Well, problems just tumbled upon me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. Well, I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, my child, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence, used all my keys at the lock. But God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you did not. Well, I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, I just had to take time to pray. Had to do it. In the morning, in Mark 1, verse 35, in the life of Jesus, it says, in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. Jesus. That's the example. First thing in the morning. Good time to pray. Number two is pray at mealtime. Again, Jesus sets the example for us. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, he said he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Took five loaves. You're familiar with the story. The two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and he brake. He gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. So even before feeding the 5,000, Jesus prays. In Matthew 26, verse 26, even at the institution of his supper, the communion, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, break it, gave it to the disciples. So even in the life of Jesus, we see he sets the example of a good time to pray before a meal. Apostle Paul was on board a ship bound for Rome, being a prisoner. And in Acts 27, the story says that when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So what better time to pray before we eat? When one of the first prayers we kind of teach our children, you know, trying to not only still live to pray, but before we eat, then we sometimes parents teach their children that little prayer, you know, God is great, God is good. Now we thank him for our food. another child's prayer. We may have taught that to our youngsters or said it ourselves. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. Now, I hope over the course of time that we grow out of these prayers, and hopefully if you're an adult, mature adult, you're still not praying God is great, God is good before you eat. And before you go to bed, I hope you're still not saying, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, it's okay if you do, but it just seems a little awkward. But it's an appropriate time to pray before you close your eyes to sleep and say, God, you've kept me safe through the day. God, you've blessed me richly. What better time than in the evening to count your blessings that have taken place throughout the day? God, you've been so good to me. And now, keep me safe through the night. Number four, pray when you're troubled. Pray when you're troubled. Paul said it this way. Ephesians or Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "In nothing be anxious." We have lots of cares and concerns in life. You know, troubles or problems come our way. We can't avoid them. Sometimes we get rather anxious about them. And what's particularly difficult is when those troubles and trials remove us from our ministry and service because we're so anxious over them, that's all we can focus on. That I don't know what to do, and we just want to sit down and maybe pull the covers up over our head. And that's our solution to the problem when we have difficulties in life. But Paul says, oh, let in nothing be anxious. Don't be that anxious to where you just want to dig a hole and crawl in it. No, don't be anxious that way. So here's the solution. Everything, in everything, by supplication. In other words, if you supplicate in prayer, you're saying, God, I'm taking my troubles and trials to you. God, I'm asking, I'm petitioning, I'm pleading, and I'm praying. Paul says in everything by prayer and supplication, a little different kind of prayer. With thanksgiving, another kind of prayer. Be anxious. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. So when trouble comes, some people find it difficult to pray. But that should drive us to be the direction that we go. So when you find it hard to pray, pray hard. James 5 verse 16 says, is any among you afflicted? No hands go up. Just let him pray. Yeah, let him pray. Number five, pray before important decisions. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, another situation in the life of Jesus. He's about ready to choose 12 apostles or disciples from the multitude that's there. Luke 6, verse 12 begins, "It came to pass in those days that he," meaning Jesus, "went out into a mountain to pray. Continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So here was a decision that Jesus was about to make. Going to choose 12. But before that's done, he spends the night in prayer. Our life is going to be filled with decisions. And so we need to work as if everything depended upon us and then pray as if everything depended upon God. Pray before you make a journey. We We pray before our Bible classes. We open our worship assembly with prayer. We begin our business meetings with prayer in the congregation. Any decision that affects our life, you simply say, God bless me or God help me. And again, the position of prayer doesn't have to be there. It says, if as you're going through life, you're walking your talk with God. God help me. Before surgery is a good time to pray. God, not only bring me safely through this, but God, would you bless the wisdom and the knowledge of those people, of that medical staff, and give them wisdom to apply the knowledge that they gain. Help me. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, Paul says, "And such trust we have through Christ to God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." We're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So include Him in our prayers. God help me. Number 6, the last one I've listed for you, you can add to this list certainly. I've given you these 6 things to think about when, you know, as times to pray. When you're tempted. Sometimes those temptations just sneak up on us. We're just whistling as we're going down the pathway, and then boom, something jumps out. There's a temptation. 2 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation." When you're struggling with it, a prayer should come to your lips. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "God will not allow anybody or us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." But God knows we're going to have struggles and troubles in life. And with those temptations, here we are, just all, everything's going good, looking good. Happy am I. Got that thing over there. God help me. Keep me straight. Bless me. So that's the lesson. In each of these 3 lessons that we had on prayer, I've always mentioned at the close that prayer is not a substitute for obedience. An illustration of that is this man named Cornelius, and we'll close with this illustration. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, Cornelius gets quite an admiration in the scripture. He's introduced this way. He says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He is a centurion of the band called the Italian band." And then the list: "He was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, gave money alms to the people, and prayed to God always." You would think, just leave that man alone, everything is fine. He's okay. He doesn't need to make any changes or be more disciplined in life. Everything's all right. But in a vision, the next verses, an angel of the Lord told him to send for Simon Peter, Apostle Peter. In verse 6, the angel specifically said, "He will tell you what you ought to do." Wait a minute. Tell me what I ought to do. I'm already devout, God-fearing, alms-giving, and praying. Leave me alone. No. The Apostle Peter is going to tell you what you ought to do. And Cornelius does that. He sends for Peter. Peter comes, and in verse 34 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 10, Peter opens his mouth. He says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Meaning God's not going to save this person over here one way and save you a different way. And in verse 48, after Peter gives his sermon, or gives Cornelius the instructions, says he commanded him to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It was something else. See, prayer was not sufficient by itself for his salvation. salvation, for his forgiveness of sins. Prayer was not a substitute for obedience. Cornelius needed to, and I'll give you a simple plan or formula, Cornelius needed to hear the good news message. God so loved the world. Second, he needed to believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. He was God-fearing, so he was there. But then number three, Jesus required repentance in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Except to repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. So I'm going to add that. Then I need to confess my faith that Jesus is God's son. That's what the Ethiopian did with Philip in Acts chapter 8. Philip preaches to him Jesus, gives him all the good news gospel message. The Ethiopian says, well, here's water. Anything stopping you from being baptized? So if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian makes a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. And Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And then they come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And Philip goes to Azotus, another place to preach. See? There's something that we need to do in life. Obey the gospel message. Become a New Testament Christian. God's way. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. Everyone is subject to it. Jesus gave the commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Told his disciples, go all the world. Don't leave anybody out. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the message we preach too. I can't change that. Can't change it. So we're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you want to respond to that in a public way while we're gathered here, you're very welcome to do so. Just simply come to the front and have a seat beside me at the close of the song, and we'll certainly answer that request for you.